I know it is my favorite tool, the chainsaw, and I have many. There are many other tools that I would like to possess as well, but the chainsaw is one that I do enjoy. And I was working with my sons, which has been a great delight as well. And several years ago, over Christmases and birthdays, we've accumulated various sets of earmuffs, which now enable them to walk in a safe yet close proximity while I'm doing chainsaw. So they're my little arborists. And I was working with one of my sons yesterday who was complaining about the work of lugging branches around. Sounds like I've got a bit of an echo here, but it will maybe dissipate. These guys are getting some good job training on the day. Thanks, Ollie. one of my sons was complaining about the work and, oh, it's so hard lugging this. I'm like, no, we've got to continue on. And you know, so how long, Dad? How much longer have I got before I can go? And I said to him, we're going to continue on until the job is done. And there was this sort of, maybe a resignation to it, but embracing. And we got the job done, and they worked so well. And I said, look at how well you've done that. And reading Paul can be like that. It is hard work. Isn't it, Mason? Just reading it is hard work. Wouldn't it be simpler if Paul was not in the Bible? Absolutely it would. But how less rich we would be for it. You've got hard work before you. Thank you, Josh. I'm a cause of the problem, or a part of it. Is that looking good? Yeah, good. There's hard work before us in reading Paul. I came to this passage in the lead up to this, and I thought, wow. So we're going to go through this passage today. Next week, we're going to be in Romans 6, verse 1 through to 14, and then 15 through to 23. And I'll tell you what, there are things in these verses I am still grasping. I would love to be able to have been the one who penned this, to know it, the insight and be inspired by the Spirit. And I'm looking in and saying, Lord, help me. So these are complex things, but I'm sounding that out a few times today to encourage you in your reading of the Scripture. When you open the Bible, sometimes it's going to be hard work. Often it will be. And if you're flying through this, you're not going to get to the depth of it. It takes time to read, reread, think, try and understand, integrate it, make sense of your experience. So we're going to seek to do that today in these verses. So he starts out here, and probably actually before I get into this, what we see here, what was coming out for me, particularly in this passage, was this word contrast. Paul here is contrasting two different people, two different fruits from those people's lives, two different outcomes, two different things that have happened, and the effect of them for us. And one of those people is Adam, and the other is Jesus. And so he starts off talking about Adam. And he says, just as sin came into the world through one man, that is through Adam, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. And then he kind of cuts his train of thought off and moves into another thing and rejoins that train of thought later. Sin came into the world through one man. That was through Adam. He took the fruit, sin entered. And as God said to them in the garden, do not eat of this fruit, for in the day that you eat it, you will surely die. So sin entered, and through sin, death was then able to enter in its train. And he goes on and says, death spread to all men because all sinned. And I picture it like this seeping in, like a dye just seeping into something, and it just spreads, staining everything. You and I are stained with that. Why? Because all sinned, that stain of death spreads through sin into all people. And that covers everyone. And he says here, he then breaks his train of thought, and he has this little aside where he talks about the law and Moses. And he's highlighting here, sin was in the world before the law was given. And the law here is referring to the law that was given through Moses. Right? There are many laws that were given in the Bible. But before the law was given to Moses, sin was in the world. But this is an interesting thing. Sin is not counted where there is no law. If I, my children, cross a line somewhere that I know is a social norm, but I haven't told them about that, I can't really hold them accountable to that, can I? I've got to then train them and say, oh, look, I haven't explained this to you yet, but, you know, at the table, we don't eat with our mouth open. That's it's a social norm here. Maybe in other places you do, but here, we eat with our mouth closed. So I can't, it's not right for me to hold them to account to something that I never had. So sin is not counted where there is no law. If there's no understanding, how can you hold people? Yet, even though this is true, death reigned from Adam through to Moses. So the law came at that point. The law wasn't given. Even over those sinning who was not, their transgression was not like the sin of Adam. So what's that saying? Let me give you this example, right, of Cain and Abel. What was Abel's sin? He murdered his brother. It's pretty bad sin, you know? Sorry, thank you. Cain killed Abel. Thank you. And Cain's sin was murder. Thank you, brother. Going too fast. The law had not been given. One of the Ten Commandments is, you shall not murder. Cain didn't have that. Yet he murdered, and he knew it was wrong. That's what he's saying here. Sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law, yet death reigned from Adam all the way through to Moses. Even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam. See, Adam had a very specific command, do not eat from this fruit. You read with Cain, the Lord didn't say, you shall not murder your brother. Didn't get it. Yet he's saying, even here, death was reigning. People were being killed, people were living in a lifestyle of death, people were dying. So this is important, he's unpacking it. Then he kind of rejoins, and he's now, again, he's coming to this place of contrasting the one man Adam with the one man Jesus Christ. And we start to get this contrast here with the work of Jesus, which again, I like just looking at the cross. It just is a helpful thing. I pull it out of the shed, my kids say, Jesus died on that cross. I said, not this one exactly, but one much bigger and like it. Meditate on the cross as we're going through. The free gift that came through this, it is not like the trespass. That's what Adam did. And he's contrasting here. Read again verse 16. The free gift is not like the result. So verse 15 and 16. The free gift, it is not like this. There is a difference here. And he's unpacking it. The free gift that was given through Jesus is not like the trespass. Why? Because many died through one man's trespass. It's a lot of weight of responsibility. I dare say if we were all there, we would have made a similar decision if we were in Adam's place. Many died through one man's trespass, but much more have the grace of God and the free gift by that grace. Hear these contrasting words, free gift, trespass, death, died, grace. Much more have this grace of God, the free gift of that grace, through the one man Jesus Christ, abounded to many. There is almost like this competition between the two. And here life has swallowed up death. And he goes on and says, the free gift is not like the result. Again, he's drawing out this contrast. The result of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. So this is the result. So it's looking more specifically in verse 15 at the free gift and the trespass. Now it's looking at the result of the two. The free gift is not like the result. Sorry, the free gift is not like the result of the one man's sin. So what's he drawing out here? One, the result is this condemnation. Adam was under condemnation. But the free gift that follows many trespasses brings this thing, justification. It's a great word, justification. How would you explain what justification is? I was having this conversation with my daughter this morning on the drive in. And she was saying, justification. I said, have you heard that? And she said, yeah, I've heard that word before. I'm like, wow. She said, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, justice, justification, justified. Like, yeah, they're all sort of similar things. What is justification? And I think this passage specifically gives a very great help with understanding what justification is, because its mirror image, or the opposite of it, is on the other side in this verse, and that is condemnation. If you condemn someone, you're saying, this law was given, you knew the standard, you are now condemned as guilty according to that law. Justification is saying, this law was given, and I can see that you are not guilty. You have done what was right. You are just. You have walked in what is right. You have lived in a right fashion. The free gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. And this is where, in places like this, it's so important for the rubber to hit the road in your life and mine. Brothers and sisters, what does justification look like in your life? Do you walk in justification? Or do you walk in condemnation, even though you don't need to? Let me unpack that a bit, right? Again, it's one thing just to whoosh through it, another thing to slow down and read through it and gain understanding, and then another thing again to live it and to apply it. What am I saying here? I think, as I look at my own life, I probably struggle with this on a weekly basis, sometimes every day, the difference between walking in condemnation or justification. I haven't realized how much I need to exercise what Paul is saying here in my life to live free and in a justified fashion. What I mean by that is this: I do wrong things at points in my life. And when I recognize that, I've acknowledged it, and I start to feel guilty. And then from feeling guilty, there might be people around me who have observed me doing something wrong, or I'm afraid that they may have caught it, and then I'm thinking, how are they thinking about me? What are they feeling? What am I feeling now? I'm feeling condemned because of the wrong thing I've done. And there's a level of truth to that, right? Because we don't want to deny, oh, I didn't do that. That's unhealthy. But to walk, that's what I begin to do, is I walk in this condemned fashion. I've done wrong, and therefore it produces in me this unhealthy response. I just feel yuck. I feel like I want to throw in the towel. I feel like giving up. My heart becomes hard. You can bless my wife and pray for her. Yeah, I need to grow in softening my heart at points. Sometimes my heart becomes really hard, and she does a great job of seeking to handle me in love. You don't know me in that place. My wife knows me in that place. Your wife might know you in that place, your husband, your children, your parents, your brothers, your sister. Maybe you might be able to let others know that. That condemnation, it's like a heavy cloud. If you embrace that condemnation and you feel it weighty enough in your life, you can take, I've experienced, even an entire week to emerge out of that place. If it's heavy enough in your life. For some people, they might not emerge out of a place of condemnation for their entire life. There's good news. There's a free gift here. A wonderful free gift, and it is justification. You have been justified through Jesus Christ. not that you have done what is right, but that he has. Your sinning has followed the one which is Adam. Death came through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. But the free gift is not like the result of the one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. There are many trespasses that have been committed by people in this room. There is one free gift that has been given that leads to justification. And I desire, and I believe it is God's desire, that's why he has done it, that each of you walk in a justified fashion. You say, even though I feel condemned, I feel guilty, and yes, it's right to acknowledge that, not to deny guilt, but to bring it, and to say, yet you have declared me justified. And from that place, when that condemnation is coming upon you, you can stand up and say, I want to walk rightly. I don't want to allow my sense of condemnation to keep dragging me down, to keep hurting the people around me. And even if someone else might say wrong things about me, they might be misunderstanding or even saying things rightly about me and saying, look at what you've done, look at the impact of that. Yet I do not stray back, pull back into the weight of condemnation of what I've done back here. But I say, no, in Christ I can move forward justified. That is what he says of me. That's going to take faith. And I encourage you, if you are married to someone, to encourage them to do that when you pick it up in them. Say, are you walking in a fashion now of condemnation or a fashion of justification? And then speak truth, because yours is justification. And encourage it, foster it. As I'm in different church settings and places, and even in our own, I notice that we often emphasize basic things that we are grateful for, things that everyone has received, and it's good to acknowledge these things. Things like we are made in the image of God. Praise the Lord. This is a wonderful thing, that out of all creation we are made in the image of God. But I rarely hear people giving thanks that we are being transformed into the image of his Son, more so. Or I can hear people giving thanks for, and again, it's right to do this, it would be wrong if we're not giving thanks for these things, but giving thanks for things like the blessing that we have to be in Australia and have access to the things that we do, that the Lord is blessing us through our occupation, the things that we're able to have, the good meal, I was trying to say meal and food at the same time. That was good. The good meal or food on our table. We are thanking the Lord for these things that are before us. Brothers and sisters, thank God for your justification. Really. Because you are not thankful for these things, you do not appreciate it, and you are disregarding it. You're thankful for the food on your table. Praise the Lord. Continue to walk in that thankfulness. But thank God that you are justified. If you are thankful for it, your appreciation will grow over it and your application will grow over it. Press in. Look at the cross. What have we received through this? One of the things is justification, that you might not walk in a condemned fashion. In that conversation with Hadassah today, she was saying, talking about chewing gum. I thought, that's a very helpful illustration for this. You know when you get gum and you put it in your mouth and you're chewing it, all the flavor's there and it's so nice, and then after, I don't know how long it takes for you, maybe half an hour, you're talking to someone and then you suddenly realize, this stuff tastes disgusting, and you're like, want to get it out of your mouth? And Dusty was just saying to me, well, it doesn't taste disgusting, it's just that the flavor's gone out of it. I'm like, oh, that's true. Are you treating your justification like chewing gum? When you first realized it was great, it was a wonderful thing, and you just chewed it for so long, it's like, tastes bland. Appreciate it again with renewed fashion that you might apply it in your life. Going to get down here to verse 17. He says, if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Again, you can even read one sentence, one verse of Paul, and you're like, got to read it again. What's he saying here? Go slowly to chew on it. Through one man's trespass, death reigned. We've seen that. But much more, again, there's this contrast in saying, if this has happened, well, much more this is happening. Much more will those who receive, that's an important word, receive, I'm going to come back to that, the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. You see, there are many trespasses that have now happened that we have committed. But it is one free gift that enables this righteousness to go forth that we might reign in life. And one of those elements that make that up is justification and walking in it. But I want to put it out here today that there may be some here who have not received this. That is an important word, received. Received this free gift of grace. A free gift that leads to a reigning in life. Maybe you observe people around you, I don't know. You think, yeah, I would like to lay hold of that, but I haven't got it. I don't know the way. Kind of like Gary was saying, he had someone explain to him when he was younger. An amazing response. Well, I don't believe that. Is there another way? No. This is the way. The only way that God has provided is through his son Jesus and what he has done in dying for all who receive it on the cross. That we might reign in life. Consider your life. Does that describe your life? A life of righteousness that reigns in life. How? Through one man, Jesus Christ. Would you like to have that? If you would like that and you've never received it, I would like you to come and talk to me afterwards. Come up and say, you know, when you were talking today and you were sharing about that, I don't have that. I would like to have that free gift. My experience of that has been it has changed my life over and over again. It would be impossible for me to account all of the ways that the Lord has, through this free gift, continued to chisel and change and transform my life. I don't look back very much, actually, as well. I do at points, but I'm continually looking forward. What are the other things that he's working on to make me more of a diamond? Oh, there's one, justification. Got to get that happening. Do not stay in a place where, for fear of what someone else may think of you, or because you're too proud, not accept a free gift that can change your life over and over again. Let me read this just to take us home in verse 18. I think we're getting the concept now. So press into it a bit. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many remain sinners, so by the one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Now the law came, that's referring again to Moses, to increase the trespass. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. there's this rising of sin because of the law. We become more conscious of the wrong things, and there's this increase of sin. Yet the grace is just massive and overflows. Just to come briefly back to that point on justification. Would it not lead you into a point where you would say, all right, I'm justified, therefore you stray more easily into wrongdoing? And you're like, yeah, I'm a justified person, therefore it doesn't matter if I do this or do that or do the other. Well, we're going to be looking at that next week. He goes on in 6 and says, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it any longer? We're going to look at that next week. Let's stand together, and I'll invite the band up. And again, if you feel prompted, perhaps